Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Into the Night. I am your host, Sean Kelly, the founder of the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society, and also the co-host to Chasing Prophecy. And we have a very interesting show tonight. So you heard of the book by Stephen King, The Tommyknockers. Okay, well. We're going to have our guest. My guest tonight is Robert. I hope I say this right. Is Varegutz?
That's pretty close. Yeah, that's pretty
That
good.
pretty okay. But I was doing some research on Tommyknockers, and they live underground. And what they're supposed to, what they do is kind of like protect the miners. I got some notes here that I'll read off. What they do is, like, whenever they feel like that something's going to happen with the mine, it's going to collapse or something like that, they start knocking on the walls. And so at that time, the miners would hear the knocking, and then they would run out, and the mine would collapse. And I think it's pretty interesting because it was really weird because I believe Tommyknockers are real. The knockers, they would also they steal food, okay, and from the miners. So the miners would save some of their lunch and give it to the knockers for thanks for giving them protection. And there was only one bad thing about, people who didn't believe in the knockers was I think it was called the Smokeshire Mines. And there were seven guys down in the mine, and three of them didn't believe in Tommyknockers, and the other four did. And so what happened was they all heard the knocking, and the four miners, they left. But the other three down there stayed because they really did not believe in the Tommyknockers. They thought it was a myth. And they stayed and the mine collapsed on them, and that was it. They died. So, Robert, you give us a little bio about yourself, like what you all about out there in Montana?
Well, we're I'm the proud president and owner of Snapshot Mining and Milling. We do hard rock, underground hard rock mining, plus we do placer mining. We do a lot of prospecting, always trying to find new strikes. We do a lot of exploring a lot of old abandoned mines. Especially up in this area here, a lot of these mines never had the opportunity to go because of being too far to ship the material. So we're constantly in abandoned old mines. Some of these mines haven't seen a person in 100 years. So that's pretty much what we're about. We're about processing ore and mining.
Okay, for our listeners out there that don't know what hard rock mining is, can you please explain? And placer mining too.
Okay. The hard rock mining, what we do is we're what we call stope mining, drift mining, small scale. So we still do it like they did 100 years ago. We have big compressors going with jackleg drills, pushing ore carts, running air muckers. And what we do is we just drill in on the vein itself, and we drill it and we blast it with dynamite, and then we muck it out and we send it off to have it process. Our placer operations right now, we have a full-blown operation going on up in Canada, where they're using heavy equipment like you see on Gold Rush, and big wash plants. But down here in Libby Creek, we do suction dredging. We have a 4-inch dredge and a 3-inch dredge that we dive underneath the water and suck up the gold laying in the creek bottom. We also clean the environment while we're doing it. We We end up with a lot of mercury every year from the old boys operation, plus what comes from the ground natural. We recycle that mercury, so it's no longer in these streams. We collect all the lead, iron, and everything else worth of value, and we recycle that. So that's pretty much how our placer operations are.
Okay. Now, in your hard rock mining, is there a specific type of mineral that you go for, or what do you usually go for down there?
We go for anything of value. We go after the gold, the silver, the platinum, palladium, and on forth, but we go after the copper, lead, anything of value.
Okay.
And the ore deposits that we are actually in are very, very high grade ore, and what we call commercial grade ore.
Can I ask you how many mines you own?
I own 13.
13 mines. Oh my God. I hope you got a crew that works with you.
Oh,
you do it yourself. Oh, you do? Well, that's a good thing. The only thing about me going under doing hard rock mining would be because I get claustrophobic, and I don't think I could handle it down there. But
actually, there's a lot of people that I love taking people underground. I really do. I love seeing their reactions for their very first time. And I have taken quite a few claustrophobic people, and I just take them in slow, you know, and tell them, hey, you know, just take your time. And they don't, a lot of times, they don't realize how confined space it is, because the way your light is on your head, you know, your headlamp on your hard hat, you're actually looking at a beam of light. And so the area that you're in actually looks a lot bigger than what it is. And so they don't get that claustrophobic, you know, not a lot of them get a real bad claustrophobic feeling. So
if you went down, just to say, like you're walking down to the mine, you're how far underneath do you go?
Well, we have one mine, our Victor Empire mine. I don't know if you ever seen the videos on Facebook of that one. That's the one that I wear. We've been working. It's actually a mile straight into the mountain. And so we got to pump air. I have another one, another big mine that the main audit, the haulage audit, is over 12,000 feet long.
Okay. Wow. Shit. Yeah. That's what. So your light would go out. It's pitch black, right? You don't know where you're at.
It's the blackest black you ever seen.
Okay. And do you ever get nervous down there when it's total black?
No, I don't get nervous. You know, the one thing working underground, your senses are, how I can explain it, completely out of this world. You know, you're paying attention to everything. So it's hard to explain, but it's a really, really weird world under there. And talking about what we are on the show today, I did get, I don't know if you want to say nervous, but I had a really weird experience that was actually, I did capture on video.
Did you get a Tommyknocker on video?
Yes, sir. I got two of them on video. I got goosebumps right now talking about it. And I can explain what happened if you would like me to.
Please, yes.
All right, well, I went up there by myself, which is a golden rule of mining, of not going underground by yourself. And my guys had the day off, and I needed to go in and get some samples. I have a YouTube channel, so I wanted to get a little bit of video for the YouTube. Sorry about the background noise.
It's okay.
Anyways, so I went in there, and I was sitting there getting some samples because the old boys had drilled right next to this vein and blasted it out, but never knew that vein was right there. And I had seen indication a couple days prior of a vein being there. So I was in there by myself, and I was sitting there picking, And I grabbed my camera, and I was going to explain to people why the old boys, because of their lighting and that, why they went right by a lot of veins. And anyway, so I started walking. I wanted to give people kind of idea. And I walked up the drift. That when they follow the vein, that's called drift mining. And as I was sitting there videoing, I seen this dark figure that my light didn't go through, but it went around, but you couldn't, it was a silhouette of a person.
Okay.
And as I was videoing, I was like, huh, must be a Tommyknocker. You know, I kind of just was joking around, thinking, okay, it's just in my head. And so, you know, I turned around and I was sitting there talking and I was explaining how the old boys missed the ore deposit. And then I cut my camera off. Well, I was just using my cell phone. And I was in there and I had a chisel and a hammer because I'm just taking samples. You know, there's no sense of firing up the big compressor and the drills and all that. And I was sitting there and I was getting samples. And all of a sudden, I heard two voices talking, and I had my 45 pistol with me, of course, because we're up here in bear country, up here in northwest Montana. And I jumped up, and I had my hand on my pistol, and I started screaming at them. I said, get the hell out. You're trespassing. And meanwhile, for some weird reason, I grabbed my phone and hit record. My free hand. Well, then it dawned on me, I am the only person in this mine because I am the only one with the key for the gate, and the gate was closed. There's only one way in and one way out.
Right.
And so I was, it dawned on me. And so on the video, I'm like, okay, it's just, you know, I thought I heard voices, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, it's in my head. So I just turned off my phone and I got down and I started working again. And all of a sudden I heard two voices talking. So I jumped up, grabbed my phone, turned it back on. And I said, all right, you guys, listen to what what I'm listening to. And I held my breath and you could hear talking back and forth, back and forth. Well, anyways, So I was like, okay, I'm getting the heebie-jeebies. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hurry up, and I'm gonna get my samples. I'm going to set off because I was going to set off around and have my GoPro going so people could see what it's like to have a blast go off underground.
Right.
I went to turn on my GoPro, and it wouldn't work. I went to turn back on my phone so I could light the fuse, at least run out there. So at the porthole, they could hear it go boom, boom, boom. You know,
right.
And anyway, so I went to turn my phone back on and it wouldn't go on. It was dead. So I lit the fuse. I got a 15-minute fuse going. I run all the way to the porthole, which was only where I was working at, was about 650 feet back. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there and I had my phone, and all of a sudden my phone, I'm at the porthole, powered back on. And so I'm sitting there and I'm counting the whole time in my head. Well, 15 minutes goes by, nothing. And I'm going, oh man, I got dead rounds, you know, which is very scary for it.
Right.
So I start locking up the porthole, the gate on there. And I turn around and I grab my GoPro for some weird reason and it turned on.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, okay, so, you know, just, I'm trying to think every which way this is not happening. You know, what's going on isn't happening. And so anyways, I put my GoPro away and I turned to put the last lock on the gate. And you know, it's about 25 minutes later and all of a sudden, kaboom, the blast hit. Wow. And so that was the first time I ever had anything in that mine happen. And then about 2 months ago, I took a guy up there who did not believe in that kind of crap. He turned and it was staring him straight in the face, and he was trying to climb over the top of me. And oh, wow. So that stuff, it Tommy knockers, any seasonal miner like myself will tell you they are real.
They are real. Okay.
They are real. And we always leave offerings of tobacco or, like you said, food or something like that.
Okay. Now, these Tommy knockers that are in your minds, do they feel like it's a bad, they're bad or they're good, or do they ignore you? What?
I feel they are good because every time I go in there, like I said, I leave them an offering of a cigarette. I've had them follow me around in there, and now, believe it or not, I feel at ease in there, and I actually talk to them. Mm-hmm. And what was funny is when my friend Ron Shaw cut out all, I now on this paranormal, or I can't even pronounce it right, but this
paranormal.
Paranormal phenomenalities, whatever. There's some kind of noise that he was able to cut out, the background noise or something like that. And mm-hmm. in that video, when I was talking about the Bane, one of the Tommy knockers says, yes, it goes that way.
Oh, wow.
And he was able to capture that.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Is that on your video of yours?
Yeah, it's on one of my videos. I'd have to get a hold of him. He takes care of my YouTube videos and all that for me because I'm a busy guy. And I'd have to see if he can get that up or whatever. But, yes, it's on there. And like I tell people that are interested in this kind of stuff, I'm more than willing to prove to people and have them go in there and actually set up voice recorders, whatever, because I will guarantee you will see that it is 100% real.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad you said that, because during my research, a lot of the miners that came over to the States, they were from Cornwall, England. Okay. Yep. And they would come over, right? And whenever there was a new mine that was about to be explored, they would not go to work in this new mine because they wanted to make sure that the Tommy knockers were there, you know, to protect mm-hmm. them. And I think that's like really, really, really cool about that. I for some reason, like I bought some samples from you one time, and I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, you want some good hard rock ore? It's pretty cool. Got the silver in it. It got like the pyrite in it. You got to go see this man, really, his company, because I got some really, really interesting stuff from him. But so this guy that you took down to the mine to see the Tommy, you know, seeing the Tommy knockers, did you actually see what one looked like, or was it just a shadow?
We actually, the day, because his name was Hank, and I was sitting there telling him, hey, you're going to experience Tommy knockers. Well, what's a Tommy knocker? And I explained it to him, and he pretty much told me, excuse my English, but I was full of shit.
Right.
And we were back there 1800 feet, and I was showing him, you know, I was explaining to him the whole time about the ore deposit now. And I got this feeling, and I said, well, I hope you know we're being watched by the Tommy knockers. And he was like, oh, whatever, you know, ha, 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 funny, funny.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I happened to turn the same time he turned, and it was just about 2 foot behind him. And what it was a white silhouette of a person. Okay. And we, you know, we couldn't see no facial expressions or, you know, any facial features or anything. But next thing I know, he's trying to shove me over to mm-hmm. run away. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, just calm down, calm down. And he was literally freaking out. And if he was here right now, he'd tell you it's real.
Okay, that's good. Now, how many people do you have in your crew that work in all your mines?
We have six total. Six total. We
Okay.
don't we bounce around. Like the ore that you had gotten from me is actually from that mine. It's called the Victor Empire. And that
Right.
was where that ore came from, is the one with the Tommy knockers.
Oh, wow. Now, and your other mines, your other 13 mines that you got, have you experienced Tommyknockers and end mines?
Well, my one mine, which is up in the Yak, if you ever watch the Mountain Man series on Discovery, it's up there in the Yak, Montana, where Tom Orr is. Matter of fact, I'm only 9 miles south of Tom Orr's house. That mine, when I first got that mine, it actually connects up on top of the mountain is another mine. It's called the Keystone Mine, which is gold mine. And they ended up punching a raise, which is like a shaft, but it goes at an angle, from the lower workings of the Keystone. They punched it down 1,800 feet down to what they call the Ammon Tunnel, which I have, which is part of that gold deposit. And when I first got in there, it goes back perfectly straight for 1 mile, and you could be back there and turn around where the big ore chutes are, and you can see daylight from the porthole. Well, I ended up in there, an uneasy feeling of, not of danger or like get out or anything, about tragedy. And so I started doing research. Guy 21 years old in 1933 fell down that raise and ended up all the way down at the bottom. And he had, died, of course. But I could feel that when I went into that mine the first time, that something tragic had happened there. Well,
But nothing to do with the Tommyknockers, huh?
I haven't spent enough time in that mine. We got it because I'm trying to work on getting the upper workings. And so that was unclaimed. So I went in and claimed it. We've done a little bit of work in there, but nothing major. So, we haven't experienced anything in that mine yet.
Okay, now back to the mine that we're talking about with the Tommyknockers. Your other guys that is on your crew that go in with you, did they experience Tommyknockers in there?
Yes,
Or is
every single one I've brought in there, some of them, and they didn't believe in them at first, and now they talk to them and they leave them offerings of tobacco and all that. And they have told me that, they never go into detail of what they've experienced, but they go, yeah, the Tommyknockers were pretty active today talking to us.
And to me, that is awesome to hear. I enjoy hearing that because the only time Tommyknockers actually got noticed is when Stephen King wrote that book, and for some reason, I just felt that they do exist, and I believe they're not out to harm anybody. Here I was doing some research. And in 1956, a company closed their mine down. I don't know what the company was, but all the Cornish miners petitioned the mining company to open the mine back up. And that was to set the Tommyknockers free so they could go to other mines. But what really blew me away was the owners of that mine, they complied with it. So they opened up the gates to let the knockers go out. So to me, I would think that Tommyknockers are like little guardian angels.
Well,
Now,
if you look
go
up Bunker Hill Mine in Kellogg, Idaho, look up some of the history on it. The old boys back in the 1800s and that one, all the way up until the mine shut down. They're actually trying to refire that mine. They're sitting on one heck of a reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why that shut down was because lead prices and that plummeted. And yet there's actually a lot of written history from those miners about Tommyknockers there and the Sunshine Mine and stuff like that. So, you know, over in Kellogg, Burke, Wallace, and that, and even in Butte, Montana, there's a lot of written history about the Tommyknockers. And,
oh, wow.
Yep. And seasoned miners, you know, there's some that are still, you know, there's saying, oh, it never happened, or it never, you know, they're not real. But the majority of us hard rock miners, we 100% believe in them.
Okay. Now, do you have people who have their own companies that have experienced in their own minds that they were Tommyknockers there?
Yes, I have. Matter of fact, see, when I was first breaking out hard rock mining, well, just to give you kind of a little background about me, I started placer mining for a guy when I was 13, and he'd paid me in gold. We had a wash plant and was running heavy equipment and that. And then when I became 18 years old, I went to work for the U.S. Antimony Mine for John Lawrence. And one day he approached me and says, hey, Robert, would you like to go down by Salmon, Idaho? I ended up with a gold mine down there. Would you like to work underground? I said, hell yeah. Because mm-hmm. John was kind of a hero of mine growing up.
Right.
And when I was working, I was sitting around in the jack leg, and there was another guy named John. Uh-oh. He was 72-year-old miner. Looked like he was 200 years old because, you know, working underground is brutal on your body. And he was pushing out one of the loaded ore carts. Well, I'm sitting there drilling, and I heard three knocks, you know, like rocks on rock.
Right.
And, you know, it's noisy. I mean, a jack leg drill is freaking noisy. Yeah. And mm-hmm. So I kind of looked around because I had this weird feeling, and I kind of looked around, and, you know, I just shrugged it off. You know, it's in my head, whatever, you know, it might be the drill steel, you know, it's something. And I was sitting there drilling, and all of a sudden I heard plain as day, somebody yell, get out.
Okay.
I looked around, no one around. I looked down the drift, no one coming, no lights, nothing. Turned back around, started drilling, and I felt somebody grab my shoulder right here and mm-hmm. pull me and scream, get out. And I just let go of the jack leg, and I ran.
Okay.
And I had this real uneasy feeling. I come around this corner, and there was John, my partner, and he stopped me, and he goes, what's the matter? What's the matter? And I says, somebody yelled at me to get out and grab my shoulder. He goes, let's go. He didn't ask no questions, nothing.
Right.
So we got to the shaft station there, and he says, well, let's just sit down and eat our lunch. And he goes, and give it a little bit. They don't want us in there. And I said, what do you mean they don't want us in there? And he goes, the Tommies. And so, you know, I don't know anything about Tommyknockers. I'm new at this stuff.
Right.
And it was about maybe 5 minutes later, there was a big blast of air.
Oh, wow.
And we got done eating our lunch, and he says, well, come with me, kid. And we walked back there, and there was a big slab right where I was standing came down.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's when he proceeded to tell me that it was a Tommyknocker. And
okay.
When I came topside, I was talking to John Lawrence, the owner of U.S. Antimony Mine, and that's when they filled me in on Tommyknockers.
Okay.
You know, so
now,
what's that?
Go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's when I started learning about Tommyknockers. And, you know, every miner that I've ever been around has had some kind of something with Tommyknockers.
Okay. Now, getting back to the companies, the people, the owners. Now, you know, nowadays you get companies that all they care about is making money. You know, they don't care how people are and blah, blah, blah. The people who all the mines, the owners, do they believe in Tommyknockers? I know you explained just now that the miner, the guy who owned the American one, kind of respected the Tommyknockers. Now, were there other companies out there that They're like, no, I don't believe in this stuff. So just get back in there and work.
Yes, there is. There is. We had a really big, huge silver and copper mine here. They were using 988 front-end loaders, jumbo drills, big, huge haul trucks, all underground. These things were huge. And there was a lot of times I never worked there. They didn't want me to work there. And I knew a lot of the employees because we're a small community. And they would say, fellow miners would say stuff like that. And they're like, well, get in there and do your job. So it's yes, it there's companies out there that are into greed. They don't care about that. I mean, I've worked for a couple of them. I'm not gonna say no names for who I've worked for, just because where they're the safety is kind of thrown out the door for their employees plus for the environment. And the employees is what makes you money. You have to care about your employees. Your employees are number one. Your environment is number one. And see, that's what we're about, a snapshot mining and milling. We have to take from our environment, but we have to give back to our environment. And
Awesome.
we don't want, I don't want my kids to take their kids there and say, look at this mess your grandfather made. I want them to be proud of their dad going, look at how, it's hard to explain, but to us, our environment is worth more to us than the God Almighty dollar. But some of these big corporations, it's because they have financial backers, and all the financial backers see is dollar bills. So when it comes to the safety of the guys and the safety of the environment, that goes out the door for the God Almighty dollar.
Now that I'm glad that you said that. When you mean by giving back to the environment, what can you explain to our listeners what you're talking about?
Well, like for instance, like our suction dredging, there's a lot of people that aren't aware. Suction dredge, you're underneath the water, and it's like a big vacuum cleaner. It uses water to move water, and so when you're sucking up, harmful things for our water, like mercury, because people have to realize a lot of the old boys. They didn't know the effects of using mercury or lead, what it would do to the environment, because I can guarantee you they would have found different ways to doing it. And so when we're suction dredging, what it does is it picks up the material and distributes it the same as it picked it up. So all the rock is sucked right up and put right back the way it is. But when you're doing that, you're creating food for the fish, because you're the bugs that are hiding in the rocks, the fish are right in there just eating, having a field day. Plus, you're taking big, you got to take big boulders and that move them out of your way. So you are putting down gravel behind the suction dredge for them to spawn in, because they need that sand and that gravel to make their nest, to lay their eggs, to keep their eggs safe. And so what when I say we give back to the environment, what we're doing is we're taking what the old boys put in there, the mercury and the lead gnat, we're taking that out because we take that with us and we dispose of it in the proper way. We sell the lead to recycling. We don't get a lot of lead. But like I tell people, even if it gives you a dollar, that's a dollar of gas, so you at least have $1 worth of gas. But the mercury, we retort it, and it's kind of like a whiskey still, how I can just say it easy. What it does, it takes the mercury, it heats the mercury up, which vaporizes the mercury fumes. And it goes through a tube and is condensed, it's cooled down. and you have pure mercury come out the other end, but it cannot vaporize and go up in the atmosphere because there's a seal and all that. And we collect the gold that's in the mercury, and then we sell the mercury to places that buy mercury for scientific stuff. And, you know, and it goes to our defense department and that. So we sell it to people that are licensed to buy that mercury and then sell it where it needs to go or dispose of it properly.
Okay.
And then like our hard rock mining, we try not to do anything that most of our hard rock mines, believe it or not, people aren't even aware that we're there. Besides a compressor and a power plant out on the waste dump, we're constantly cleaning the environment. And what I mean by that is up at my mines, it looks like a park. We're constantly stacking brush. During the springtime, we burn the brush piles. We have moose that come in. We have names for every moose. one of them I have is Maggie. She actually has two twin calves. She will almost completely walk right up to me. She lives right there at our mine, lays in front of the porthole during the summertime because the cold air coming out. Mm-hmm. We put up bird houses, bat houses.
That's cool. That's cool.
You know, we constantly maintain it. We have grizzly bears that walk right in. I planted a whole bunch of blackberry bushes that I went around and collected. And they come right in. They eat the huckleberries, the blackberries. Why were they working? They'll sit there and watch us.
That's cool.
So we're constantly giving back to the environment.
That God bless you, sir. God bless you. But now that, let's get back to them. Besides the Tommy Knockers, now I know you live in Montana and there's a ton of trees, a lot of forests. Have you witnessed any Bigfoot experiences of any cryptids? How about UFOs?
I have seen UFOs. I've had some weird experiences. See, I wasn't just a miner. I'm a jack of all trades, a master or none.
Okay.
Years ago, I worked the big gas drilling rigs. Started in 2003, started working down in Wyoming. I had the opportunity to go overseas to offshore drilling off of Norway. And we had seen a lot of flying objects and that were out of this world. They were unexplainable. And when you'd go and talk about it, they'd just say, oh, those are radar glitches. They'd leave it as that. So I've seen some weird stuff with, you might as well say UFOs, because I don't know what they were. Now on Bigfoot, I did have, and it's hard for me to talk about, you know, Tommy Knocker stuff like that, because there's people out there that go, oh, whatever. He's just telling,
you know what? It's my show. It's my show. So you can talk all you want.
We up in the same area where some of my mines are, I was interested in another mine years and years ago. And I was working out a deal with the company that actually had it. So we were up there camp. And one night we had something circling our camp. Now, you guys got to realize I grew up here. I'm a woodsman. I'm always out in the woods. I'll go up in the thickest grizzly bear habitats without a gun because I trust grizzlies. I know how grizzlies are. I know to give them their space. And I've had a couple little run-ins, but nothing major with a grizzly bear. Well, anyways, what this was not acting like any animal I ever experienced before, nor the two other guys that were with me. It was circling our camp, and it wasn't one, it was two. And it, whatever it was big, it was huge. Well, for the first couple of nights, it was like toying with us. They, or what, you know, I should say they were toying with us. They kept on circling our camp. And then one night I was sitting there in my hammock, and Mike and Bill, the two guys that were with me, they were both in their tents. And I was sitting there just staring at the fire, ready to doze off. And all of a sudden there was a crack, like a log hitting a tree. And
Okay.
we all jumped up out of our beds, you know, and had our guns drawn because it was like probably like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And so we started screaming and yelling because we kind of thought, well, maybe it might be a bear toying with us. Well, anyway, so we just shrugged it off. It was quiet that night. The next night, same thing. Same thing kept on happening. Well, then all of a sudden we heard this crack, and then in the creek, a big, huge boulder hit in the creek.
Oh, wow.
And we started shooting up in the air, you know, screaming and telling it to get out of there. Well, that morning, we crossed the creek, went over where we knew the noise was coming from, and there was about a 6-inch round chunk of tree that hit another tree and exploded on that
Oh,
green tree.
wow.
You could see the mark, and we
Right.
could see where the boulder was, and we could see on the other boulders in the creek where it had hit. Well, it was about 3 days later. We were looking for this mythical mine, you know, one of those ones people are like, oh yeah, there's a mine up there. We don't remember where it's at. No one really knew the area of it. So we were up looking for it, which now I did find, and I'm the proud owner of. But as we were walking, there was some snow on the ground. And I happened to look down, and there was big, huge footprints that were from, they were similar to human, but they were about 18 inches long.
Okay.
And on the right foot, the big toe was like it had been broken, and it was off to the side and healed up.
Okay.
And the strides were about 8, 9 foot
Wow.
strides through the
Okay.
snow. So when it comes to Bigfoot, I do believe in it because up in this area, it's so brushy that I feel, and I've had weird experience. I've heard noises that were almost like ape-like out in the woods. I know every animal that exists out in these woods.
Right.
You know what they sound like, a mountain lion, a grizzly bear, all that kind of stuff. This is not like that. So I believe that they may, I'm not saying 100% like Tommyknockers, I 100% feel that they are real. But when it comes to Bigfoot, I do believe that they could exist because there's grizzly bears that people don't get to see because the minute they smell or hear man, they're gone. And it could
Okay.
be the same thing as Bigfoot. The minute he smells or sees man, he knows danger and he leaves.
Thank you. But we're running out of time here.
Okay.
And I would like to have you back on the show and we can talk more about the Bigfoot and the Tommyknockers. Just send me a message on Facebook and
Anytime, anytime.
if we wanted to find information on you and your mind, and how would our listeners get a hold of you?
I have a YouTube channel. Now, bear with me on my YouTube. I'm a very, very, very busy man, so I don't get to post a lot of videos like I would love to. But it's Snapshot Mining and Milling on YouTube. And then you can also look me up on Facebook, Robert Virgets on Facebook. And then I have a Snapshot Mining and Milling on Facebook too.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for being on the show tonight. And
Thank you
everybody
for
out
having
there,
me.
oh, you're welcome. And everybody out there, happy hunting. See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.